This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. We start the show today by meeting the superintendent of the San Francisco Unified School District, Richard Carranza. Carranza has headed the city's schools for the past 2 years. He came to San Francisco from Las Vegas, where he was a superintendent. Before that, he was a high school principal. Carranza started school as a child who spoke no English and says his success story strengthened his belief in equitable opportunities in education. As superintendent in San Francisco, he's grappling with issues like teacher pay, the new Common Core standards, and technology.
A $5 million donation by Mark Benioff and Salesforce will help purchase more iPads and Chromebooks, have better Wi-Fi at schools, train teachers, and hire more technology instructors. And this means all middle schools, including the K-8 ones.
Today, we're going to hear my conversation with Superintendent Carranza, who joined me in studio for a one-on-one. First, I asked him how the Common Core changes are being implemented in San Francisco. And a note, KALW is located inside Burton High School and is part of the San Francisco Unified School District.
The name belies what it really is. They're not common at all. What's common about it is that we have 47, 46 states. I forget, some states have dropped out. But 46 or so states that have all said, we're going to adopt these English language arts and math frameworks. And for the first time now, we have teachers in California that can share best practices with teachers in other states. And other teachers in other states, we can share good lesson plans, good unit plans, good resources, innovative approaches for teaching concepts across state boundaries, which is really exciting for teachers. But I think what it does for students is that it sets up students, because everything builds on each other, it sets students up to be successful at the next level, the next grade level. Okay. So this year we are implementing Common Core in K-12.
And what does that mean? What does that mean for teachers?
So what it means, I think one of the most tangible things that you would see is that it's not uncommon, for example, at the middle school, that a student would come home from a math class with a big 3.5-4-inch thick math book. Mm-hmm. And teachers were used to starting on page one, chapter one. And by the end of the year, you hoped you got through all of the chapters. Right. What's different about Common Core is that students aren't going to be bringing that big textbook anymore. What they're going to be doing is that, because Common Core is looking at, instead of a breadth of different content areas or different concepts, but a smaller number of concepts, but deeper understanding of those concepts. They're fundamental concepts that help build the knowledge for the next level. So students now and teachers are going to be using selected pages out of their textbook, which apply to where they are in the Common Core. Mm. Parents are probably going to be surprised to know that students are going to have to describe their way of solving a problem. So people are going to say, well, wait a minute, this is math and kids have to write? Absolutely, because we know that once students are able to articulate their process for solving problems, they've mastered the concept of the problem solving.
And what about measuring student progress? What is going to be different? What changes should we be expecting?
Well, that's also going to undergo a huge change. I had a mother at an open house the other day say, well, why does the assessment need to change if you have the curriculum changes? Well, you know, if you wear a certain outfit at night, you probably want your shoes to match your outfit, right? They go together. It's the same thing with an assessment. You can't use an assessment that's assessing an old curriculum, because you're not assessing the same things.
So star tests aren't going to work anymore.
They are gone. Mm. And what California did last year was eliminate for 2 years any kind of star testing. But it was because we were transitioning to this new Common Core curriculum that is more rigorous, that is more demanding of our students, and implementing the smarter balanced assessment systems. So we needed time to have not only teachers become familiar and comfortable with this, but also students to become familiar and comfortable with this. We field tested in certain grades last year the smarter balanced assessment. And I have to tell you, it was a pretty stressful time, because not only do you have to have the technology to be able to implement these assessments, but, you know, kids in the second grade have to have some keyboarding skills to be able to access these assessments. And I'll tell you, based on our field test last year, it went better than what we thought. which is good. So we're taking the lessons learned last year and we're absolutely implementing some new strategies this year. We know where some of the pain points are around our technology, where some of the pain points are around students and keyboarding skills. So we think that it's going to go even better this year. And then next year, students and teachers just understand, and parents should understand, it counts.
I'm talking to San Francisco Unified Schools Superintendent Richard Carranza. Does this new system of testing encourage or discourage teachers to teach to the test versus teach?
Yeah, I think it actually makes it really difficult to teach the test because there is no such thing as the test. Because students have to demonstrate knowledge, because students have to create, because students have to describe, there's no way that, you know, if you're going to bubble in bubbles, you can teach to the test. But if you're going to have to take the information that you're learning and then interpret it and then be able to create, you really can't teach to the test. And that's where I often tell folks, you know, in my role, I interview and hire lots of people. And never, ever, ever once have I hired somebody by saying, come in, please sit down, take this test. Here's a pencil, bubble in your sheets. And whoever gets the highest score is the person I hire. It's ridiculous. No, you want the person that can work on a team. You want the person that can articulate ideas. You want the person that can take ideas and better those ideas and then be able to describe them and demonstrate them and think creatively and think out of the box. That's exactly the promise of the Common Core.
Well, since we were talking about technology, let's stay there. Just last week, Salesforce, the tech giant, donated $5 million to the district. What will it do? Where will it go here in the district?
Sure. So I think what's really exciting about the investment of Salesforce is that the district last year spent a whole year engaging parents, teachers, paraprofessionals, administrators, business people, community leaders, CBOs, you name it. And we went through a process to identify a vision 2025. And what's so important about Vision 2025 is that we imagined the kindergartner walking through our doors last year. They will graduate in the year 2025. What world will they graduate into? What will San Francisco be? What will the world be? And what skills do we need to help develop in those students that's going to graduate in 2025 to help them be competitive, not only for college, but also for careers? Part of that came absolutely through was we need to invest in our technology. We need to ramp up technology because technology is not going away. And technology happens everywhere except in the school. So we said, we can't do that. Salesforce was one of the earliest partners that took a chance with us and said, okay, we believe you. So we'll invest $2.5 million. That was last year. It was so successful the first year that Salesforce said, we're going to double our investment, hence the $5 million investment this year. So what is it going to get? It's going to get technology. So it is going to be not only iPads, but also Chromebooks. It's going to be different laptops for different schools. School sites are going to get to make those decisions. Schools that don't have ubiquitous wireless with enough capability to run the devices, they're going to get the wireless. But I'm really excited because it's going to be professional development for our teachers as well on how to use the technology in a fundamentally different way.
And so as a parent, my question is, all of this sounds great with technology, and that is the way of the future. But what kind of conversations are you also having in terms of what we're hearing from the healthcare community in terms of how much screen time these kids are getting?
Sure.
So what kind of conversations are happening there?
Yeah, there has to be a balance, and your point is very well taken.
I miss books.
Yeah, yeah.
I want them to stay.
I hear you. I don't think kids are ever going to lose that. I do think that what kids are ahead of us in many ways. So I think what we're even most proud of, the fact that in our Vision 2025, there's a strong voice of our students. And our students have said, hey, man, look, I got my phone. I can tell you on my smartphone any piece of detail you want. So what's the big deal with my turning off the phone when I come into school? Trust me, I'll know how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've seen examples where they don't, but they've got a point, right? So it's not necessarily important that they know the information, but what's really important in the 21st century is how do you discern what's accurate information? And how do you know what the spin is on the information? And how do you interpret the information you find? Because you can find a lot of information.
Yes, you can.
How do you filter it?
Mm. I'm talking to San Francisco Unified Schools Superintendent Richard Carranza. So, diversity.
Sure.
California schools are uniquely diverse, and 85% of students in San Francisco Unified are students of color. And so I'm wondering, to represent every culture, you've said students, schools, are adopting a more culturally relevant curriculum. So what does that mean exactly?
So I'll give you an example. So, you know, if you read the textbooks, textbooks are usually written in a certain way. And publishers want to publish as little versions as possible of a textbook so they can sell it in as many places as possible. But we understand that there's a rich cultural mosaic that makes us California. So I'll give you a perfect example of the Presidio here in California. So in San Francisco, the Presidio goes back to our Native American ancestors here in San Francisco, the Ohlones, right? So that was settled before anyone else ever came. Then you had the Spanish that came. Then you had the Mexican army that came. Then the United States army that came. All bringing to that one location different cultural values, different cultural practices, different customs, different languages, of course. That's what we're talking about, a multicultural perspective.
Does that mean rewriting the textbooks or what?
Well, what it means is that in many cases, we're supplementing what's happening in the textbook. So the textbooks will give us some information, which is good. But then again, here's another example where having access to technology, students themselves can research different perspectives, different viewpoints. That's really what we're talking about, an orientation, a mindset to be as inclusive as possible.
And so teacher, how will this like work structurally? Like, will you say, teachers, please make sure you include all cultures in this, you know, history lesson, for example, and here are some resources, or what happens?
Yeah, well, telling teachers to do it never really works because, you know, teachers have a really tough job. And I was a teacher, so I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think empowering, what you said secondly, is what works. Empowering teachers to have resources that they can access to be able to supplement the curriculum. But I also think that one of the real benefits of San Francisco is that people, by and large, that come to work in San Francisco have this very deep-seated appreciation for multiculturalism, multilingualism, and they're inclusive by nature. So embedded within the Common Core curriculum here in San Francisco are multicultural aspects, facets to the history, to the writing, to the math. So again, it's just being intentional about how you do that kind of work.
You seem so excited. I want to ask you why you're doing this job, and you just seem so happy.
Well, my dream has always been to be a teacher, and I consider myself a teacher that, you know, is masquerading as a superintendent. And I will tell you, you know, I started my public education in Tucson as an English language learner. I spoke no English. I was only Spanish speaking. So I should be one of those statistics, right? I should be dropping out. I should have not finished high school. I should have been in the prison pipeline. But were it not for phenomenal teachers that I had as part of my education, that's what made me want to become a teacher. It was my path to the American dream. And I want to be part of the solution that creates that for all of our children in the city of San Francisco. So I'm just thrilled every day to get up and come to work. You know, my daughters are public school students. One just graduated. One is still in the public school system here in San Francisco. So I've got no bigger commitment that I can make to the system than my own children. I'm all in. So I'm just thrilled to come to work every day.